have to get into that. But without further ado, in the corner store, finally, Lasiah Wade, welcome.
Thank you so much.
No,
I appreciate it.
Thank you, and congrats. You know, I didn't realize you're such a new mother. How are you? I mean, you know, your hair looks fabulous, and you know, you're upright and clean. How are you doing this?
I have an amazing partner. We're so organized that we schedule times. Like, he got him for 4 hours, I have him for 4 hours. He knows he sees my calendar, so he knows that we have a conversation like, tomorrow's gonna be a busy day. Can you take him most of the night so I can sleep, so I can hit tomorrow heavy? So that's how we schedule our time, and to make sure that we both have rest to be able to do what we have to do. To make sure the household keeps on going.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, from my Zoom vantage point, it looks like you guys are really, really thriving over there. How, in this brief time, how are you enjoying the experience so far?
I'm enjoying it. It's different. I used to be a girl that'd be like, okay, I still want the shoes. I don't think I'm ready for a kid. You know, them Louis Vuittons over there cost $1,500. Do I need to feed a child or do I need to get these shoes? And I was still in the mindset of getting these shoes, but now I'm a mom that buys New Balances and keep it booking.
All right. Well, look, New Balances, I understand, are coming back into fashion and flavor. So yes. you will remain fresh dipped. So Lasiah, let's get into it though. Like first of all, tell us all about the Brave Space Alliance.
So Brave Space Alliance is a wheel that I seen that there was a gap in Chicago around power structure for transgender nonconforming people, and explicitly homing in an affinity around sustainable resources for our community. Normally we get passed down the breadcrumbs, we get passed down these particular things. You'll see us at the front desk or in these mediocre jobs, never in a director position, never in the executive staff position. And, you know, most people didn't like how I came into back into Chicago, into a placement of this is not how it needs to be, right? I'm a woman that has multiple degrees. I'm a woman that can hold her own in a particular manner, in particular ways. When I came back into the scene to try to find a job, every organization in Chicago said no. So that was like it was an outcry for me because I was upset. Like, I've done all this work, I've done all this travel, I've done all this organizing, particularly the type of work, and I'm willing to give all this experience to an organization that doesn't diminish my light in a particular way. So I said, forget it. I created these collectives, helped create these collectives, build a power back within the community in a particular way, built a language that is structured in a way that you have no other choice but to listen to. And then I came around after we did the big march in 2017 for trans rights, because that year we lost multiple people here in Chicago. We had over 3,500 people out on the ground and missed a winner.
Wow.
A few weeks before that, me and my partner, we know collectives will never be able to hold these organizations accountable the way that we want them to hold them accountable. So what does it look like for me to start my own organization? And then my partner said, do it. He was a part of Brave Space, Brave Space's resources when he was in college. Why not just hang on to that and create that particular same mechanism within Brave Space Alliance? And I did. We hit the ground hard. I cussed out a couple of organizations. I cussed them out personally, email-wise, in person. And I had to do a big call-out. No one has never seen that particular type of call-out explicitly from a Black trans woman with education, right?
Right.
And explicitly here in Chicago, because everyone was so pulled down in a way that they didn't want their job to waver and them calling the organization out. And I didn't have no pieces or pies in any of these organizations. And I still don't. So, yeah, either kiss my ass or kick rocks, one or the other. And that's how it really pretty much was.
Right.
It was important to call them out in that time and in that moment.
Yeah. And so since that time, so Brave Space Alliance, then you started it in 2017. Since that time, I mean, how has the landscape changed, if at all?
Since we've been doing this particular work, there's multiple trans people in these organizations that these organizations have been pushing to put in director's positions or executive positions. And I'm excited that we have pushed that language in a particular way, that they're following suit in that manner, because now trans people have a particular their body brings a particular type of funding for most organizations. So what does it look like for us to, you know, hold this trans person in this position, and we'll tell them that, you know, this beautiful black trans person we have in this ED position. But normally, no, they're not really there to do the work. They're there to be seen like they're doing the work. Mm. Nor is that particular trans person able to hold that job down like they're supposed to. They've set them up to fail. Mm. So they can be able to say, oh, you didn't do it like that. I needed to do it. Now we need to maneuver you around to another position or fire you. So it's overwhelming. It's beautiful in the most part, because now trans people are now waking up and seeing these in this political climate right now, and explicitly in a pandemic too.
Yeah, and I know you guys offer a lot of different programs, a lot of different services. What are some of the ways, and we'll restate this at the end, but what are some of the ways where members of the community get involved? What are the access points into your organization?
Just call, go to the website, Facebook, Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on all social media handles. Brave Space Alliance is a brand. All you got to do is Google it. We have our own cell phone. Everyone has an email, so multiple people that you can reach out to. There's multiple ways that you can. All of our inboxes, there's someone designated to read every last message, so everything will always be seen.
Yeah, no, that's great. One of the things that you guys, I mean, you guys do a lot of different things. You do some job trainings, you do organizing, you have a free produce program, you offer a ton of resources for the community. And one of the things that I'm interested in, you also have a mutual aid program, and a few, you know, recently on the show, we had an organizer named Naira, whose org, Black Rising, also does some mutual aid. So talk a little about the mutual aid program, and kind of, you know, what is that aid for? Who has access to it? How do you raise money, which I know obviously is the ED, that's part of what you guys are doing, and actively accepting donations. So please go to Brave Space Alliance and help to fund them. But what is the mutual aid fund for, and what does it do?
So let me pull this up and I can give you more of a information down break of our mutual aid fund. So our mutual group, we are one of three biggest mutual aid groups throughout Chicago. Our mutual aid groups work around sex worker safety group, financial and housing stability group, and also our food insecurity group. There's a lot of food deserts on the south side of Chicago, throughout the west side of Chicago, that we are trying to see if we can home. We service over 3,000 people a week doing our mutual our food insecurity group through our and that's where our pantry was built out of. So that mutual aid group built that particular pantry, and my partner was able to actually home in what that pantry will look like to service the south and west aside. Also, the Financial and Housing Stability Group. This particular group actually talks about how can trans or gender non-conforming or even LGBT people can actually home in their housing rights, learning how to eat if they have to squat during the winter time, or if they don't have to squat during the particular winter time, but mainly to learn how to secure housing and how to make sure housing is safe for them and what does it look like. Also, what was built out of this particular group was BSA is starting to build a housing program for trans and gender non-conforming people on the South Side. Out of this housing program, it will be two houses, one for trans female of center people and trans masculine of center people, to be able to have a space to have a program for 10 to 18 months to build themselves up like home ec, learning how to have a bank account, learning how to count in particular ways, learning how to save money or pay bills in particular manners. And sometimes, in most cases, trans and non-conforming people lack them particular types of education because it was not afforded to them at a particular time. Now, we go back to the sex worker safety group. It's completely anonymous to make sure that our sex workers that are in this group are safe and the safest way that we could possibly get them, but also brave in a way that they can speak about what they're needing to have a way out of sex work or to reduce or prevent HIV strategies within sex work. Also knowing one's right and supporting particular people to get out of sex work safely, even homing on making sure there are shared skills related to safety, condoms, condom usage, and reducing one's HIV and prevention with other sex workers within this group. So it's a multitude of different organizing that happens that these particular three different sector groups could actually connect with outside of Chicago. So the sex worker group has multitudes of connections through sex worker organizers on the ground to Planned Parenthood in particular ways. The housing program talks to Chicago House or AIDS Foundation of Chicago to figure out what housing mechanisms looks like and safety in housing. And the Food Insecurity Group has a different connection with urban farmers on the South Side. Also learning how to buy $1 lots throughout Chicago so they can farm their own food as well and figuring out what that looks like.
Wow, damn. So you all are very busy and providing a lot of services. Yes. And again, people could find out all this information and get involved on all the socials, Brave Space Alliance, and on the website. How did you come to be an organizer in this way? Like, first of all, where do you come from? And I guess I'm curious about your own politicalization. Like, how did you get, you know, thrown into this work? How did you choose to do this work?
So my mother's a nurse. I come from a lower middle class poor family. My mother's a nurse. Most people heard the story. My mother was a nurse, most people have this story. My mother's a nurse. My daddy's a truck driver. My daddy was a truck driver and a drug dealer. So there was multitudes of trying to figure out how to grow up in a safe household. I transitioned at a young age, around 16, 15-ish, and when I came out to my mother is the one that told me not to tell my father because my father was very homophobic, transphobic, and all of these things in between. Even my earliest memory of him throwing up when gay men came into a restaurant and him saying that these are demons and him having tried to throw up.
And why? Why do you think? I mean, that's such a visceral reaction. Like, why do you think?
My father was raised in a household full of boys.
Yeah.
My grandmother was very strict on so many levels, and in that particular generation, they were coming out of the MLK period of men need to be men. And it was stricter on them because, my father and his brothers were raised in the hood. So it was extra tense for them as well.
Chicagoans? Are they Chicagoans?
Yeah, they're Chicagoans, okay. Yeah. So It was really hard on them, and they was raising us like the South Suburbs, Chicago Heights area. And back then, Chicago Heights was like you wouldn't want to tread in Chicago Heights area back then. So, I understood why, but also I was the only one out of all my siblings that reached for higher education. So, me understanding did not mean that they understood in a particular way. And it took me and my father violently to fight, to like physically fight, mentally fight in particular ways, for him to actually even, for me to separate myself from my family, for him to respect me in a particular way. And it took that because I was a person that was raised in a household. We were like a pack of wolves. Like when one down, the other one picks up the other one. And that's how we grew up. For him, me transitioning kind of broke his heart. And I understood why, because you're losing a child and you're regaining something that you don't know nothing about. Nor do you have the education around it, nor do you know the first steps of what this even looks like. So I understood that. So I gave grace to that. What I did not give grace to was the lack of educating yourself. And I pushed that on him. And I pushed it on him because I knew my father could do better. I knew my father was a good man. He just did not have the education that he needed to be as good as he needed to be. And that is the most important thing I've always preached to anyone. My father was a gangbanger and a drug dealer. And you can't tell me that a man can't change if it's not dealing with something that is closest to him, that is having to make him change or evolve in a particular way. And he is the substance of the subject of most conversations when I talk about, oh, that gay shit, oh, that gay crap, or whatever, whatever. And I'm just like, okay, and? Now, next subject, the bills need to be paid. So how are you going to pay your bills? So I bring that into the point, like, regardless of what it looks like, these things don't stop, regardless of who I am. So in the particular moments, as he's seen me get my education, as he's seen me not having to ask for anything, as he's seen me grow up, in college, I had a good friend. Her name was Beautiful Ashley. She was a trans woman, too. She's the one that taught me what it looks like to be a stealth, beautiful trans woman in that particular time, to make sure that I wasn't harmed in a particular way, nor in particular language. And most people did not have that particular mechanism to allow, have other people teach them what it looks like. She was killed. And we were both in college. She was killed and she was dropped on the side of the highway in bondage and wrapped up in plastic wrap. Yeah. And in them moments, I was full of toxics. I was toxic. I was full of toxicity towards masculine identified people.
Of course, yeah.
I was young, and I had the language and the education to hit the ground running. And I did it with my words. Around having conversations around toxic masculinity, patriarchy, and so on and so forth. And I knew not all men are this particular way, but most in that particular moment and what my thought process was, men and masculine identified people were trying to kill us in that particular moment. And you know, as I slowly grew up, I slowly moved back from that education. I mean, from that ideology of everyone is everyone, right? But it still flashes within me today in my particular work when mostly who's been killed out here are trans women,
right?
On the ground. And right. Every year it gets higher and higher and higher that we visibly see, right? And it could be a mental mind fuck on many different levels to constantly see people that hold your identity being cute because they're just living in their truth and they were just walking down the street.
Yeah.
So how do you
retain? Because even when you talk about your father, you retain this sense of compassion. And I wonder, one, you know, where is your relationship now with him, if you have one? And two, how do you keep that sense of empathy for people who are trying to denigrate or worse your existence?
My little one. My future. I think it's important for me to understand humans are humans. Regardless if we use the pronouns goddess, or we say we're magical in a particular way, or however, we're still human. And humans make what errors? Humans, when they are not educated, they're going to act dumb. When they don't know particular things, they're going to hurt themselves. When they don't have the money, what they do, fight to get what they needed. When they're pushing a corner, they're going to fight out of that corner. So if we know human nature and we know what humans are going to do, we know exactly how to maneuver or treat them in a particular way. My father, I love my father. My father loves me. I tell you and tell anyone, he dares anyone to try to lay their hands on me because I'm his daughter. And he's proud of what I've done. And he's proud that I have changed so many lives. It's changed language in so many ways and pushed people out of a particular uncomfortability zone in a particular manner. Because I continue to fight for my life. My father is my biggest fan. And that's why I show so much compassion. Because when a trans person does not have the particular education nor the know-how to get to where I've been to, but this particular trans person is still in a poor person, and they have no mechanisms of trying to figure out or scratch a way out of where they've been, they're still recycling that hurt that their parents have gone through. So that's a recycled hurt that's happening. No one can educate either or when neither or have the education to educate the other. So when you're going back and forth, all you're doing is beating a dead horse with a stick. And no one's trying to break that chain. In this particular moment with my parent, I was able to break that chain that my father had on him for so long, and let him know that regardless of what it looks like, I'm still your child. And you can't get rid of me because mama didn't swallow me. So I'm here in front of your face, and there's nothing that you can do about it but acknowledge that your child has a master's degree. She runs an organization that has multiple employees. She has a building structure that she built from the ground up. And she's the only Black trans woman of her community that has been recognized through the state of Illinois through women's history. You can't erase that. All you can do is say, "Oh, so you must be doing something correct." Yes, so, I am. So you have no other choice but to listen and learn.
So he's come around, and you've helped educate him. Mm-hmm. If he could change, maybe everybody could change. Is that also like a theory of change for you?
I can't say everybody.
Right, okay.
I cannot. You know, Madea said it the best in Tyler Perry. Madea said it like, there's two different types of breed of people. There's one that died out in the 70s that just don't really give no goddamns. And then there's ones when you call the police and they say, "Hold up, let me stop what I'm doing," right? And there are people that are still alive that did not die out in the 70s that still have that particular thought process of, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what you say it is, regardless of no matter how much science has proved that I'm wrong, I'm still going to be wrong, and I'm okay with being wrong.
Well, we see that a lot. I mean,
see right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So stubborn is what stubborn is going to do.
Right.
All I have to tell is people to find your own path. There's many different people that will help find a different path for you to get out of the realm that you're in.
Yeah. And in these last, 10 months or so, these last 9 months, how have you seen visibility of trans women, black trans women specifically, maybe, has it, has there been an upward tick in visibility? Does that have an impact in your organizing? I mean, it seems that partly like you are responsible for that raised visibility. But I wonder what that means for the future. And how is it sitting with you, some of the more public calls for equity for particularly black trans women?
I want to say sorry. I want to say sorry because we didn't give you a choice. Sorry because we pushed ourselves out in a particular light. Most of us is not going to say sorry because this is what they wanted to do, what we wanted to do. But I also have to say sorry because you have a choice if you want to be stuff or not. You have a choice if you want to be seen as a trans person or not. But with visibility comes with death. And a lot of people don't understand if you are combating a system that deems you not norm, and you combat, your body is the combat of the system. The system has no other choice but to erase you and try to erase you the best they can by demonizing you or pushing you out of the conversation in a particular way. And that's what we have seen. The heightened visibility caused heightened of harm, caused heightened of death. We're pretty much telling our enemies our plans. Mm. We're pretty much telling our enemies how to reach us and how to get us. And these particular things that we have practiced with each other and through community to keep ourselves safe have kept us pushing through. There is a generation that is not having conversations about what we do or how we do it. They are having conversations of other ways of doing particular things without saying particular things, if you get what my drift is. We are, not we, but most are having an underground rural conversation of how do we continue to do the work without putting our community in a harm in a particular way.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in some ways, you know, there is that the kind of dual, the double speak, the double consciousness, the code switching also stems from some of the aesthetics and ethos of the ball scene, the ballroom scene, which you come from, right? And so that sense of kind of not being visible in maybe your daily life, but then having a celebratory space where you can be the totality of who you are in the ballroom scene. So there is like it's powerful what you're saying, and I wonder how the ballroom scene and your participation in it has, of course, you know, made you who you are and influenced the work that you do.
The ballroom scene allows me to stay connected to who I used to be. The ballroom scene has allowed me to be as fabulous or as snobby or as snooty or as rude as I want to be without being PC'd in a particular way. A lot of people don't understand that the ballroom scene...
Oh, you just want to be nosy. Oh, wow. What a cutie.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh! Wow, that is a cute. Oh my gosh, that is a cute baby.
Thank you.
Wait, what's his name?
Xavier.
Xavier, what's up, little homie? Oh my god, that is a cute baby. Wow.
Thank you. So yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand. Like they try to PC ballroom in a particular way, where ballroom is actually an out of trying to get away from the stress of society. I can put down my ED hat and put on my ballroom hat and be that girl for a night, or walk in there and be like, girl, why is you talking to me? You is nobody but poor people. And keep on booking because it's an act. It's something that allows us to release what we have been trying to fight for all of our lives in particular ways. I deserve to be able to go to Saint Laurent daily and buy bags every day if I want to. I deserve to be able to be the rich bitch that I used to and wanted to dream of to be in these particular moments. But for this tonight, I can be Lisa, or I can be the Joanne that I've always wanted to be. So yeah, it's always been a play for Black, queer, and brown queer people to be a part of. And it's something that I, you know, most people go to Harry Potter. I go to balls. Yeah. That's who I am. I'm Empress in ballroom. So that's who I'm going to portray while I'm in balls, and I'm Lasaya Way when I step outside.
Yes. Well, Lasaya, you are an empress in the real world as well, or the other world as well. And so thank you so much, you know, first of all, for the work, and thank you absolutely for the time. And it's so nice to meet Xavier and you. Please tell us again where folks can be in tune with the work you do and the work that Brave Space Alliance does.
If they want to get in contact with me, my name is Lasaya Way on Twitter and Instagram. I closed my Facebook. If you want to go to my professional page, Facebook page, you can follow me there. Brave Space Alliance is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are all social media handles. Brave Space Alliance, you can Google it itself. It will all pop up. We are wanting people to come to the center, but right now, since COVID, no one comes into the center. But we check inboxes, emails, phone calls. We're all hands on deck. As soon as the sun hits the ground, that's what we do. That's who we are.
Word. Well, Lasaya, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so glad that we finally connected. It is high time. And again, I owe you a beverage of your choice on the other side. So thank you so much, and good luck. And yeah, look forward to the continued work. Thanks for being in the corner store. Yeah, thank you. Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official corner store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the snack door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the corner store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/corner_pod.
The corner store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.